Senate will please come to order. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Roll call for February 18th. Anderson.
Here.
Allman.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Excused.
Burns excused. Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Fecht.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Job.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Mockler.
Here.
Nicholas.
Excused.
Excused. Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Basie.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Schiffer.
Here.
Burns here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Oliver.
Let us pray. God of justice, we praise you for your love that embraces us and gives us security no matter the situation. We praise you for your joy that uplifts us and gives us resiliency. We praise you for your peace that floods our hearts and gives us serenity. And we praise you for your spirit that fills us and gives us strength and endurance. Be with us, Lord, so we can maximize the hours of this week. Help us to think clearly without confusion, to speak honestly without rancor, to debate without division, and to decide courageously without contention. May our rhetoric honor you in all that we do. Grant the senators your grace to work this week as legislators who love you and who count it as a high privilege to serve as leaders of our beloved state. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Fellow senators, our doctor for the day is Dr. James Broomfield from Cheyenne. Doctor, welcome. Thank you for coming. Our nurse for the day is Sue Howard from Campbell County Memorial Hospital up in Gillette. The thought for the day, it is our choices that show what we truly are far more than our abilities. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, Senate File 92, Medical Necessity in Insurance Contracts, was assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. I would ask that you re-refer that to Committee Number 1, Judiciary.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senators, in looking at the list that bills that committees have to work, we're actually in good shape, and I commend you for the work that your committees have done. It appears to me it's timely that we go ahead and start assigning House bills. I've got a few over here on this side already. Given what always happens when the House bills come over, I think the earlier we can start on them, the better. I will be assigning those bills probably at noon. Again, out of respect for your fellow senators, I would certainly distinguish Senate files from House bills and act accordingly if it were me. But but we will treat the House bills with all due respect, certainly. Bills on second reading. Oh, we have the journal. I'm sorry. And it's an exciting journal it is. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 15th, 2008, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
Are there any objections to this Journal report? Hearing none, the report is adopted. I don't know what our Journal Chairman will ever do if we object to it, whether he'll add color photos or I don't know what. But it's, anyway, your efforts are appreciated, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 2, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 2, Select Natural Resources Funding Committee Chairmanship, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Senate File 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 6, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 6, Cost for Emergency Detention Limitation, sponsored by the Mental Health Committee.
Senate File 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 7, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 7, Animal Damage Management Program, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
Senator Joe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just like to put some information on the floor regarding this bill and this program as this bill moves forward to third reading so that it can be fairly considered. As I said, when this bill was in committee of the whole, this program was supposed to be self-sufficient. It was supposed to be funded by brand inspection fees, an animal damage stamp, and a landowner coupon. We are into this program $6 million now, but I want you to know some of the other details. Since we have given that money, they have added 19.5 positions statewide on that money. So this is one of those instances where we provide money and we grow government. In their minutes, I had a chance to read their report in between reading budgets this weekend, and they ask for an extension of this program to 2015 versus a removal of that sunset date. The money is being used for operational expenses and capital purchases, which I think we probably know. However, producers can get a refund on their brand inspection fees of 100% if they do not use these services. And later on, if they decide they need the services, they do have to pay that back at 1.5 times that. But one of those revenue streams that was supposed to go into supporting this program, they have found that they can refund that money. Also, on the landowner coupons and the management stamp, that contributed $1,035 to this program in the last fiscal year. So I'm just trying to put a comprehensive picture on. I object to this bill, and I won't be voting for it on third reading. But I think this is one of those instances where we tried to help them out, and it's turned out that there's a severe cost shifting onto the state for this program. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Bebaugh.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and in support of the bill, and I think we have to understand, you know, what we're trying to do here and why the costs have gone up and what the responsibility and effect that the producers of agriculture have done in this regard. And the question the other day was how much money have they spent over the years, and the numbers I bring to this body in response to that question is in 06 they spent $635,000. That be the gross annual producer-funded predator fee. So they are stepping up. In 07, they spent an additional $1 million. The additional money that we're talking about that this body last year saw fit to put into this program, you need to look at where that money's being spent and what it's for. And there's a report that I passed out again this morning that talks about what we're doing there. And predators are hungry. And when they look for food, they don't just look at cattle, sheep, cows. I mean, they look for all kinds, and they really look at wildlife, and a big part of our problem with wildlife is predators. And if you look at those programs, you can see that a substantial amount of that is being spent on those programs. The list is there. I think it's a very good list. Of course, we only have 18 counties that have bought into the program. And for the counties to buy into the program, all of the producers in that particular county have to pay $1 a head for their cattle in that. So they are paying. And if you look at the history of this program, in the past, when I brought to you the other day the efficacy of it, how efficient it's been, that was without the additional money that you funded last year. So the program has really worked, and by putting this money in, it will only work better. And the reason it's expensive is because we're doing more in the wildlife area. And you can look at these programs and projects and see where it's going and where it's being spent. So I like this program, and I differ with my colleague from Sweetwater County who doesn't like it. But I would ask her to visit with her constituents down there that are involved in hunting and ask them what they think about a program that's out there helping the people with wildlife and the benefits that it does do, because I think they're substantial. You know, let's don't forget what we're talking about here. We're not talking about the budget. If you don't like the way the money's being spent, too, reduce that money. That's sure fair game, but let's not shut the program down. The program works. It's beneficial. It helps producers. It helps our wildlife predation, all those kind of issues. It really does work. So let's keep our eye on what we're trying to do here, which is extend this program. If you think that we should not sunset it, come back with another date. We can talk about it. I would be opposed to that, but I still think we ought to keep the program going. If you don't like the way the money is being spent, come back with an amendment to the budget bill and reduce the money, and we'll talk about that then.
Further discussion? Senate File 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no further objections, so ordered. Senate File 8, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 8, Farm Loan Program, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
Senate File 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 10, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 10, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriation, sponsored by the Mental Health Committee.
Senate File 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 21, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 21, Hathaway Scholarship Program, sponsored by the Education Committee.
We do have an amendment, the Jennings Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 21, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 21. Ladies and gentlemen, all this does is put a sunset date on this bill. What we're doing is we're looking at kids that can't make it by grades in the Hathaway Scholarship Program, and we're letting them come back into the program. I say let's give it 4 years, take another look at it. It's as simple as that. I'd ask for your favorable vote on this amendment.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, I don't strenuously object to this amendment, but I would like to bring it to the body's attention that we have the sunset ability. We meet every year, and this morning I just met with a committee that does a wonderful job of sunsetting. They call it taking away the money. And we have that. And if the sunset gives everybody great comfort, then that's fine. But quite frankly, these sunsets sometimes push things, bad programs off into the sunset. I mean, we do it this year, and then 4 years from now we do it again. We have the ability every year, so I don't object strenuously to this, but I do think that sometimes these sunsets get to be a backdoor way, so.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment, This is a good bill that corrects some real problems in the way the Hathaway account is administered. For most of you know, I've got children going through college and I watch their friends. And I watch an extraordinary thing. Right now, if you lose your Hathaway scholarship during your first year or second year, you can't not get it reinstated until the following spring semester, so it takes an entire year to get your grades back up. What that means is that if, for example, you have your child and say, look, you need to take a year off school, which sometimes kids need to do it, then if they're taking the fall semester off and you think you need to take a full year off, this actually, the way the bill is written now, forces the student to go back to the spring semester because that's the only semester during which they can get their grades back up. And that may not be the best for that child. Maybe the best thing is for them to take an entire year off. And by taking the entire year off, they come back into the what would be the fall semester. And under the new bill, you can get your grades reinstated at the end of the semester. Under the present law, you can't. So right now, the law is administered or written in a way that's not in the best interest of educating kids and sometimes taking off a year to go out and work and grow up. So I'd urge you to defeat the amendment. The amendment before you, the bill makes the program a better program.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, further on this, as I understood, one of the things we were doing was dealing with the students who were not taking the required number of hours because not having had the benefit of the success curriculum, they were requiring remedial work and were therefore unable to make the hours and have no way of being reinstated now. I've heard the discussion in terms of the grades. Is it a good idea to sunset that requirement on the hours, or are we dealing with that problem? Are we dealing with something temporary? I'm a little afraid that whereas the success curriculum will eliminate a good part of the remedial requirement, that there'll be another stage where we find it hasn't eliminated a lot of them and we have to go back to some of the school districts and say, look, your programs are just plain not sufficiently rigorous. So all that plays into the question of whether we should have a sunset or not. So, Mr. President, I would appreciate a little discussion on that particular part of it.
Further discussion. Senator Sessions.
Chairman, or Mr. President, excuse me. I guess I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about, since the issue has been raised about the remedial classes and the non-credit for those remedial classes, and in understanding the Hathaway, that many students lost their scholarship because they had not completed the number of hours. I will tell you, I have a real problem with how our community colleges and our university are dealing with the remediation. I object to the two types of tests that they use. They are computer tests, and oftentimes they're not testing what we have determined is what kids should learn to go on to college. If you have a student, and I had this experience with a grandson who, after spending a year in Iraq, came back to go to school. He calls me up and says, Grandma, you're going to have to do something about this. They're going to make me take that stupid remedial math, and I've got the ACT scores, and I've got the math grades when I was in school that says I don't have to take that test, and I'm not going to take that test. And I said, Nicholas, he said, I'm signed up for the regular math class. Why can't I try that math class? I have a chance of making it and getting the hours. I'm not taking that test. And I told him I had somebody in my family that would be calling up their boss. And I said to him, Nicholas, don't you dare do something like that to me. you go in there. I said, I have great confidence in you. You go in there and take that test. He went in, took the test, and he passed it. But I think that we have got to look, especially when we're funding the Hathaway, we have got to look at that requirement on those remedial classes. Now, I know that some kids should be in them, but we have got to come, and I'm using this to try to say to colleges and universities, please, if you've got kids who have passed those math classes in high school, if you've got kids on the ACT math things that are good, don't make them take, and I will use this word, the stupid computer test mechanism that is devised by a company that says to our kids, this is whether you get those hours on your Hathaway or you don't. Let them try the math classes. Let them try English classes. My word, they just might make it, and I'll be willing to bet a lot of them will. So I'm using this as just, we have a thing in here about those hours, and then when I looked at the number of kids that lost them just because of the hours, I thought, we've got to rethink this somewhere along the line. So thank you for listening to me.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second and final shot. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Everybody's right. The big senator over here, he's right. We can sunset anything we want. Senator from Laramie, and the one Laramie County, and the one from Laramie, everybody's right. But what we're doing on Hathaway is we're starting to look at it as the fix-all for college education. And every time we fix it all, we add a little bit more money to it. All this sunset does is say, in 4 years, let's come back and look at all these good fixes that we've made and make sure that we can still afford it. So we either do it like the big senator over here says, we just go ahead and pull the funding on it, or in 4 years we sit back and say, okay, here's the things that we fixed with this bill. They were all good. Repeal the sunset. What I'm afraid of is that we will get a system in place to where we just automatically keep going. It just becomes another budget line thing in Hathaway, and whether it's effective, whether it's working right or not, we just keep doing it. All this does is say, let's go look at it in 4 years. So vote it up, vote it down. It's not going to be the end or the demise of Hathaway one way or another. Thank you, Mr. President.
The question is on Senator Jennings' motion for second reading amendment on Senate File 21. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Second reading amendment number one on Senate File 21 has failed to pass the Senate. Senate File 21, having been discussed two separate times, the question is, shall it proceed to a third reading? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Members of the Senate, it is a pleasure at this time to be joined on the floor this morning by some special guests from the Wyoming affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure organization. Today is Pink Ribbon Day, a special day where we celebrate breast cancer survivors and honor those who have lost their battle with this terrible disease. Please help me in welcoming First Lady Nancy Friedenthal, Susan Thomas, and other members of the Komen Wyoming affiliate to the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. For those of you who find your way down to the first floor, I want you to check out Dave's shirt. You'll notice that I dressed him yet again, and he's showing that he's man enough to wear pink today in honor of the Pink Ribbon Day. In 2008, it's estimated that across the nation, one woman will be diagnosed with breast cancer every 3 minutes. and a woman will die of breast cancer every 13 minutes. These alarming statistics are what bring us here to talk to you today. The Wyoming affiliate for the Susan G. Komen for the Cure, along with those of you who support us with your time, your talent, and your financial resources, are working to better the lives of Wyoming women facing breast cancer in our community. We join more than 100,000 breast cancer survivors and activists across the globe in the world's largest and most progressive grassroots network fighting breast cancer. Through events like the Komen Wyoming Race for the Cure, we have invested over $1.2 million in local breast health and breast cancer awareness programs in Wyoming. Up to 75% of the funds raised here in Wyoming stay here in Wyoming. The remaining, as you know, goes to the National Susan G. Komen for the Cure grants program for energizing science to find the cures. At Susan G. Komen for the Cure, it's our promise to you to save lives and to end breast cancer forever by empowering people, ensuring quality care for all, and empowering the science to find the cures. We know that ending breast cancer is about more than just treating or curing a medical condition. It's about overcoming the financial, social, and cultural barriers that prevent women from receiving the life-saving breast health care and treatment. Thank you for welcoming us here today, and it's my pleasure to ask Susan Thomas to share a few remarks with you as well.
Well, I think maybe I first want to tell you it's good to be home. Nancy, I think you maybe need to dress me. I didn't get the memo. I'm not pink. You've all been very good and very patient in participating in the Wyoming Race for the Cure in whatever way you do in your communities, and I thank you for that. I can tell you from personal experience that all cancer needs a lot of attention, and we need to put our resources and our efforts into finding cures for all cancer, breast cancer, leukemia, whatever. So anything that you do back in your homes, back in your communities, will be so greatly appreciated. Thank you again for letting us come in here and disturb the work of the people. Thank you.
Mr. President, distinguished senators, I'm Leonard Gehringer. My wife, Gail, and I are the honorary co-chairs of this year's Wyoming affiliate of the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure and its 2008 Wyoming Race for the Cure. As a practitioner, and I'm a radiation therapist, I have witnessed the impact of breast cancer has on the lives of patients, survivors, family, and friends. Over the past 25 years, Race for the Cure has played a critical role in every major advance in the fight against breast cancer. It has transformed how the world talks about and treats this disease. It is helping to change millions of breast cancer patients into breast cancer survivors. Because 10 million people around the world could die from breast cancer in the next 25 years without a cure, Race for the Cure is fighting every minute of every day to save every life. We are asking you, as our legislators, to again come together to form a team in support of the Race for the Cure and the breast cancer movement. Last year, led by team captains Senator Jane Mockler and Representative Tom Lockhart, your team raised enough money to claim the second prize trophy. Once again, they have graciously agreed to be the team captains. With your help, we will make a difference. Let's renew our promise to the breast cancer movement so that one day we will have something miraculous to celebrate, the end of breast cancer as a life-threatening disease. Please join us back here in Cheyenne on August 9th to Race for the Cure. Thank you very much.
thank you, Nancy and Susan and Leonard, and thanks to all of you for your leadership and your perseverance in this. We do appreciate it. And I think on behalf of all the senators, I can say that we will try and take that message back home and do what we can do. I have every confidence that the Senate team, under our very apt coach over there in the second row, we will contribute mightily, although perhaps not so much physically, if it's okay with you. But anyway, thank you, and thank you for coming, and thank you for your leadership on this. We do appreciate it. There are many people across the state that deal with this in one way or another, with families, with acquaintances, with spouses. And this is one of the efforts, it seems to me, that we can all participate in working towards a common goal, which is a cure. So I urge your support, whether it's monetary or physical or both, and your support taking it back into your community, senators. Thank you. And thanks to you all very much. Senator Bebaum.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor? The
floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, this is probably one of the neatest things I'm able to do in my life is to have the opportunity to introduce to you on the floor of the Senate my mother. She's with us today, Desi Bebaum. Mom, would you please stand up? Thank you, Mr. President.
Welcome, Mrs. Bebaut. I am sure that you'll oversee and make sure his conduct is proper and in line. Thank you. Senate File 25, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 25, National Guard Life Insurance Contribution Option, sponsored by the Transportation Committee.
Senate File 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 30, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 30, Commercial Vehicle Licensing, sponsored by Senator Geis.
Senate File 30, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 32, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 32, Board of Paroles, authorizing changes in length of parole, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee.
Senate File 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 43, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 43, Reportable Animal Disease List, sponsored by Senator Geis.
Senate File 43, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 44, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 44, Residential Mortgages Practices Act, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
Senate File 44, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 45, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 45, School Districts, Payment of Employee Association Dues, sponsored by Senator Larson.
Senate File 45, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 49, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 49, Impact Assistance Payment, sponsored by Senator Von Flatiron.
Senate File 49, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 51, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 51, Mentor Hunter Program, sponsored by Senator Jennings.
Senate File 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 64, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 64, Valid Court Order, sponsored by the Judiciary.
Senate File 64, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, the consent list today is Senate File 39, State Miners Hospital Board, Senate File 48, Reporting Requirements, Senate File 53, Common School Reserve Account Funding, Senate File 55, Appropriation for the Legislature, Senate File 57, Hospital Participation in State Retirement. Senate File 61, School Finance Recapture Payment. And Senate File 68, Judicial Retirement.
Consent list is Senate File 39, State Miners Hospital Board, Senate File 48, Reporting Requirements, Senate File 53, Common School Reserve Account Funding, Senate File 55, Appropriation for the Legislature, Senate File 57, Hospitals, Participation in State Retirement, Senate File 61, School Finance Recapture Payments, and Senate File 68, Judicial Retirement. Would any senator like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? The bills are Senate File 39, State Miners Hospital Board, Senate File 48, Reporting Requirements, Senate File 53, Common School Reserve Account Funding, Senate File 55, Appropriation for the Legislature, Senate File 57, Hospitals Participation in State Retirement, Senate File 61, School Finance Recapture Payments, and Senate File 68, Judicial Retirement. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Fecht.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas. Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 39, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes. Senate File 48, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 48, 30 ayes. Senate File 53, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 53, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 55, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 55, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 57, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 57, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 61, are there any changes? Cooper, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Allman, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 61, 26 ayes, 4 noes. Senate File 68, are there any changes?
Case, aye to no.
Closing vote.
Schiffer, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 68, 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 39, State Minors Hospital Board, Senate File 48, Reporting Requirements, Senate File 53, Common School Reserve Account Funding, Senate File 55, Appropriation for the Legislature, Senate File 57, Hospitals, Participation in State Retirement, Senate File 61, School Finance Recapture Payments, and Senate File 68, Judicial Retirement, have passed the Senate. Senate File 17, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 17, School Facilities Infrastructure Costs, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee, and Act Relating to School Facilities, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We do have two amendments. First one is the Nicholas Massey Perkins Amendment, and the second one is the Meyer Massey Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number one to Senate File 17?
Senate File 17, third reading amendment number one, page one, line two.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 17. Ladies and gentlemen, the more important part of this bill is on page, or this amendment is on page 2, lines 9 through 18. And you'll recall that in the original language that the commission was charged with the responsibility to ensure that remedies meet certain requirements. What I hope I've done here is gone back to treat it more like an agency and a fact-finding mission, and then assuming they find the correct facts, then their decision ought to be upheld unless it's not supported by reasonable evidence in the record. So it says the commission shall adopt the remedy. We get rid of the word ensure and just simply require that they adopt the remedies in the best financial and educational interest of the state, taking into consideration the most efficient and cost-effective approach to in order to deliver. And instead of using that word educationally, I've modified it just to require to deliver quality education services and address building and facility needs. Then we go on to say that expenditures from the account shall be for necessary and related costs to implement efficient and cost-effective building and facility remedies. So we first say what the requirement is, then the second, with respect to what is an appropriate expenditure, we deal that in a separate sentence rather than combine it into one long-running sentences. We've deleted the word on the front page. All that does is delete the word educationally, which, frankly, when you go back, I'm not certainly what it modifies, what word in the sentence, and we clarify that all of these things are in order to deliver quality educational services. I urge your support of the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment? The question is, on third reading amendment number one, to Senate File 17, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 17 has passed the Senate. Would the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number two to Senate File 17, the Meyer-Massey amendment.
Senate File 17, third reading amendment number two, page two, lines 2-10.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number two to Senate File 17 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, you recall we had some discussion about communities on the, I believe, the Committee of the Whole. That amendment and its placing in the bill was maybe a little strong. It was kind of like the tail wagging the dog, perhaps. We decided to do a little wordsmithing, and we pull back the effects of the community involvement, but we still keep them involved in the process to the extent that the commission would take into consideration the effects of the proposed activity on the local community. So they still have to consider it, but the community isn't quite as involved, and the community, I guess, doesn't have a veto power or anything like that over the commission in its activities, but they have to consider the effects on the local community. So with that explanation, Mr. President, I would stand for questions or ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on third reading amendment number two to Senate File 17. The question is, on third reading amendment number two to Senate File 17, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Third reading amendment number two to Senate File 17 has passed. Senate File 17, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Whoops, wait a sec. We don't want to recycle that one again. Senate File 17. Yeah, three readings, four readings, 10 readings in the Senate. It's good work anyway, folks. I'm sorry, I got time lapse. Senate File 17. Having received the affirmative, we have to have a vote first. That's where I'm at. I'll get caught up. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 17 pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Vecht.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Peterson, aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
Closing vote closed, 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 17, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 17 has passed the Senate. Senate File 22, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 22, School Facilities Amendments, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school capital construction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have two amendments. Third reading amendment number one is the Nicholas Coe-Massey Amendment, and third reading amendment number two is again the Nicholas Coe-Massey Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number one to Senate File 22.
Senate File 22, third reading amendment number one, page one, line one.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 22. Folks, this addresses charter schools. The only charter school that this would have an impact on is the charter school that's in Auburn or in Laramie. And our present law right now provides makes no provisions for the school facilities commissions to either pay the lease payments for or the capital construction obligations of charter schools. I think as we go down the road, we're going to have to sort out in the end what kind of obligation or commitment we're going to make to these schools. What this amendment does, though, is says that if you're a charter school and you've been operating for 5 years successfully and your charter has been renewed, then the Facilities Commission will pick up the lease payments for the facility. And in the occasion for the charter school in Laramie, they have been in operation for 5 years. They have had their charter amended or renewed, and this will allow them to begin picking up their lease payments. What we're advised that they want to do is they want to expand for new grades. And what we also know is as these charter schools operate, the longer they operate or the longer the more legacy costs, if you will, associated with running the schools. But this particular school is successful. They have had their charter renewed. They want to expand their facilities, and they simply are having a difficult time now using their foundation guarantee monies to pay for the facilities. So under this amendment, if this, that school, having met these requirements, the payments would be picked up, and the lease payments for them and the facility they are located are about $150,000 a year. I'd urge your support of the amendment.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, I do have a question on this. I do not wish the students in Albany County to go to school in an inferior school that needs maintenance. That is not the point that I'm asking. But this isn't limited to Albany County. We've had a hearing here, and it was pretty rancorous and long over a charter school. And the question I'm asking on this is, so according to this law, if we have a charter school go in a school district They have to go into an existing, or it says here, closed, not operational or otherwise feasible building. But then, that's part of the school district right there. But then at the end of 5 years, then they can go out, lease a building that the, because they don't like where they are, lease a building that somewhere else, and then go back for major maintenance money to redo that building out of our funding and out of our state funding. I'm asking the questions, does this open a door that we do not want opened? Or do we still leave it to districts to try to keep them within a facility of the district and then try to make those schools as safe and environmentally friendly for education as possible? So that's the question I have. Does this open this door? It doesn't, and I think it probably does. And I tell you, I think charter schools, and I have seen some elsewhere, not in Wyoming, that are wonderful charter schools, and I think there's a place for them. But I do worry about this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. With regard to the comments and the questions, I think it's important to keep in mind that the children who go to a charter school are still in a public school system. And constitutionally, still the responsibility of the state legislature to make sure that they have an equal opportunity to the educational basket of goods and services in the state. And the Supreme Court, executive branch, and legislative branch have agreed throughout the years that an adequate facility is an important part of that. Now, when a charter school was created, there is a deal or an agreement that's made with the school district board in order to determine where they're going to hold their school at. And in the case of Laramie, at that particular time, there really wasn't any kind of surplus space. They didn't have any choice but to go out to the building that they're in right now. And they fixed that up, and it was all on their own nickel for the most part for the first 5 years, and this amendment would not change that. But if we continue to allow the gap to grow between their lease payments and the amount of major maintenance money that's passed along to them, they're going to have to dig more and more into that foundation account money just to support a facility. And that means they're taking money away from being able to offer that basket of goods and services. So this amendment ensures that they have that equal opportunity to a quality education, just like any other public school system or student in that system.
Senator Bieber.
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe someone could refresh my memory on a charter school. As the number of students that would go to the charter school would affect the ADM of that district. Does that mean that district receives less funding, or do they still get that same amount of funding, and then that would go to help fund the charter school? And I agree with my colleague from Albany County about the needs and the constitutional rights we have to do that. But I just want to be sure that in terms of the funding that there's a mechanism, and I'm wondering about and concerned about the cost and how that would work.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, just to answer that question, the eight districts are funded by ADM, and if they have, say, 120 kids in Snowy Range over in Laramie, the ADM funding that would go to Albany 1 gets diverted to help pay for that charter school. That's how that works.
Senator Zakaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, I have a question about how does it fit into the overall school facilities plan. Every district in the state has to have a plan for what they foresee as far as 5-year plan for growth. And I guess my question is just how does this fit into that plan and for future planning by the School Facilities Commission so that they know what to budget and maybe what those plans are for those charter schools?
Senator Massey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. With regard to the question from the senator from Fremont County, and to add to what the senator from Park County said, I believe in the first year that a charter school is created, there's double funding for the ADM. Because the way that the funding works now for a school system is that it's a year behind. And so if a charter school is created, the money isn't there. And that's why we double fund just for the first year. After that, the funding remains the same. And with regard to the facility planning, since they are public school students, then the facilities, all of the facilities that a district has and that they lease, including the ones for the charter school, is considered within that facilities plan. And they could step in and say, well, before you didn't have surplus space in your schools. Now you do have surplus space in your schools. And therefore, that surplus space is going to fall under our policies. And if you don't reduce it down to 115% of your overall space, you're not going to get paid for it. And so there's eventually the financial incentive, including charter schools, to move them back into a school facility if that ever arises.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to add on to what my colleague talked about, there is double funding for the first year of the four, so that the notion was is that if you start a charter school, you take out 100 students, the district needs some time to adjust their fixed cost, if you will, the reduction of those students. You don't see a reduction in one classroom. You see rather a wide reduction over the cost of the whole district, and so it takes a little while to adjust. Another reason why we have the double funding for the first year. With respect to the five-year plan, by adopting this amendment, we have still not resolved the issue of whether or not we're going to build schools for charter schools at the end, at some point, whether or not it's better to construct than lease. And I'd submit to you that's really an interim topic discussion for the JEC. We're not. The purpose of the charter school bill was not to create an easy mechanism just to go out and get a new facility. And so it's okay to say, look, go out and see if you're a successful school, wait 5 years, then we'll pick up your lease payments. Then after some point the issue is are we going to provide or construct facilities? That's not been resolved. But in the interim, they are public schools, and forcing them to pick up their lease payments even after 5 years does take away from the quality of the education. We've committed to allow them to operate. Let's allow them to be financially strong as they do it as well. I urge your support of the amendment.
The question is, on third reading amendment number one to Senate file 22. Senator Sessions, I'm sorry I didn't see you.
Just a thought, and I apologize for speaking after, but nobody answered the questions about the long-range effect of doing something like this. If we want to do it for Albany County, let's do it for them. I have a concern that we open this door, and what have we got? Thank you.
Would any of the other sponsors of the amendment who have not spoken twice like to address the concerns of our colleague from here in Laramie County? Senator Coe.
Yeah, Mr. President, we started down the road of charter schools, I think, about 5 or 6 years ago. And the long-term effect, I'm not sure quite how to answer that question, but this particular amendment, if I read it right, does require some something out there that's been successful, and it only happens, I think, after you've been a charter school for 5 years. So I think there are protections in this amendment. We only have one charter school out there that I'm aware of that has been successful like this. Others have tried. I'd urge that you adopt the amendment. I think it's a good amendment. We need to take into consideration as we think about this, this is a public school. The Supreme Court has told us that building schools will not be a function of local wealth, be a function of state wealth. For all those reasons, I think this is a good amendment, so I'd urge that you adopt it.
The question is, on third reading amendment Number one, the Senate File 22. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Aye.
Third reading amendment, number one, the Senate File 22 has passed the Senate. Third reading amendment, number two, to Senate File 22. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 22, third reading amendment 2, page 1, line 2.
It's the Nicholas Coe Massey Amendment. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 22. What this does is clarify another issue that's grown up in Albany County. As you all know, there is a lab school, or some of you have come to know it as the prep school, that exists in the university campus. Over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, everybody has struggled on how to handle that facility. At one time, there were major maintenance payments provided to the city of Laramie, the Albany County School District, to pay for that school. And most recently, that's no longer been allowed, and they put the square footage under the university's calculations for major maintenance. What this, in addition, the school district does pay to the university a lease payment of about $3.50 a square foot per year. Once again, they're paying that out of their foundation dollars. What this does is clarify that the commission can agree to reimburse those lease payments, but only if they're not, that square footage is not included within the major maintenance, so you can't have it both ways. So if you have your, they can approve a lease, the assumption is the lease payment will provide for all major maintenance of the facility. But anyway, this takes care of that issue, requires the Facilities Commission to pay for the lease payment to the University of Wyoming, and then allow the school district to use foundation dollars for operating costs. I urge your support of the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment? Discussion? The question is, on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 22, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 22 has passed the Senate. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 22 pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk, Senator Scott.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I urge us to stop and look at what we're doing here and think about it for a minute. This bill is a major shift in authority from locally elected officials to a state agency. You just look at page 2, lines 11, 12, and 13. We're shifting on the duties of boards of trustees. Right now, they're charged with developing and updating the long-range comprehensive school building plan. Now, if the bill passes, they're charged with cooperating with the state agency. Mr. President, this is a major shift in authority. It's my judgment, with the current personalities involved, that it will probably work reasonably well. But I will predict to you that in the future there will be major conflicts between your local boards of trustees and this state agency, that local needs and local initiatives will be ignored, and that we will see considerable conflict here in the legislature as we try to correct the state agency to pay more attention to your local school boards. Or local school boards are a fairly onerous job. I think the other possibility is we will start having difficulty in recruiting quality of people we need to serve in those boards because they are losing the authority over the education system. In either case, Mr. President, I think it's a step backwards for our education system in the state. I intend to vote against this bill. I would urge you to think very hard about it, because I suspect if this passes, there will be a time when either you or your successors will deeply regret this change that's being proposed here today.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess that I raise with some hesitance in the fact that I think that we've had some of this discussion already and find ourselves in a bit of a box. But I will say, in regard to some of the feelings that the previous speaker expressed, I agree with him. There's a good deal of regret that I have in regard to have been, as I say, placed in a box. But as we go back and read the charge of the Constitution and the interpretation that's been made by the Supreme Court, I really can't say that there's a lot that we can do, and I can say after 10 years of fighting that fight and arguing that argument and debating that debate, I think we pretty much find ourselves in a position that the way this system works, that the Constitution does have a lot of sway. And certainly the Supreme Court has the ability to remind us what our obligation is there. So having said that, I agree with the position of the box that we find ourselves in, I really don't see much else that we can do at this point. And I think that this bill does recognize the fact that we have come a long way in the relationship that we have between the local boards and School Facilities Commission, and I think it's been conceded and certainly recognized that we are in a much better path than we were in the beginning. And it's difficult for any of us to predict as to what the future might bring, but I would say, as been said already this morning, we do have a sunset group out there. We do have ability as a body to come back and revisit this in the light of what may transpire in the future without trying to accurately predict at this point. So with that, and without going into a lot of detail, I would simply say that I think that this bill is appropriate for the time. I think it's the appropriate action given the direction that we've been given by the Supreme Court in light of the Constitution. And I think that we've demonstrated, particularly in the last few years, that we can indeed collaboratively and collectively work well with these local boards in and I think that we can move forward with this. And with that, I would, Mr. President, ask everyone to give this their most favorable consideration upon third reading. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, thank you. I'd ask that you do support this bill. I don't think any of us that have been here through the whole scenario of Supreme Court decisions is thrilled with the loss of local control that we've experienced. That's been the toughest issue I've had to deal with as it relates to school finance. But members of the Senate, it has happened. Local control, for all intents and purposes, has been severely eroded. We fund districts now with a block grant. Give them a big pile of money and tell them to go spend it any way they want to. This particular bill, unfortunately, had to come about because of the deep pockets of the state. There were districts out there, honestly, that tried to design facilities that were not efficient and economical for the state to fund because the state was paying for it. We found ourselves in situations where schools were being designed at double what we should be building. So I'm saying that I understand the good senator from Natrona County's concerns. The word cooperate in here, the School Facilities Commission has to cooperate, or they aren't going to exist. They aren't going to ram stuff down everybody's throats. The path we're going down with school facilities right now, I am so comfortable with that I can't hardly believe it. It has changed so much. I'd urge that you support this bill because we're going to spend an awful lot of money out there. Like I said on first reading, we started out $600 million to $1 billion. Now we're looking at $2 to $3 billion. $400 and some million, I think, coming up in the biennium. So I'd urge that you support the bill. I think it's a good bill, and let's move it forward.
Thank you. having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 22 pass the Senate? Would the reading clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Senate File 22, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 22 does pass the Wyoming Senate. Senate File 67, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 67, Salaries for Officials, sponsored by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to salaries of public officials, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have two amendments, the Nicholas Amendment and the Nicholas Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 67.
Senate File 67, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'd move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 67. Ladies and gentlemen, what this amendment does is add a new section to the salary provision of the statutes for judges, and provides that we can add or make salary increases to judicial salaries through the budget process as long as those are intended for cost of living increases, as long as they're comparable to that delivered to other state employees, as long as the budget bill specifies the amount. And if we do that in the budget process, then the salary increases will be implemented subject to the constitutional requirements that we've already talked about, as that is, it require a new judge to come in to implement. What I'm really proposing here is that instead of having to run a statute every time we want to provide for cost of living increases for the judges that we provide for other career employees, that we be able to do that through the budget process and make it easier for cost of living increases. So I throw that out for your consideration and urge your support.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I urge us to think long and hard before we do this. You know, judges are not ordinary state employees. They are subject to special appointment processes. I have some problem with the appointment processes, but that's beside the point here. They serve fixed terms. They are the people that run that third branch of government. And I think we're setting a precedent here, and you could say, well, maybe it ought to apply to the state elected officials, the governor, et cetera. Maybe it ought to apply to the legislature. But the requirement has been that we do these by separate statute. And I think it is just as well that for the chief officials in each of the branches of government, we continue the policy of a separate statute. And I would urge us to defeat this particular amendment and stay with the current process where we have a separate bill.
Senator Jobe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this amendment. We're talking about the cost of living adjustment here, and pretty much at this point, after a lot of work on this body for a long time, that is something we do through the budget process for all our state employees. And I would agree, the judges are not ordinary state employees. I think the burden they bear and the responsibility of their job in some cases is much greater than our state employees. They're making life and death decisions. They're protecting fundamental rights of our citizens, and they're making big decisions about how our industry will thrive when it comes down to some of the tax issues we have. And so I think they carry an important job. It's a big burden, and all we're asking is that we treat them in a similar fashion on the cost of living, and that that's not brought forward in a bill every year, and that we treat them fairly with the other folks that we are paying for in the state.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second, John? Further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think what makes judges different than our other five elected officials is that we are trying to recruit and retain career people. People leave their practices, they go into the judiciary knowing that's the last step for their career, unless, of course, they're voted out on the retention vote. And part of the recruitment is trying to recruit good judges, and the people that you want to have make these decisions is making a commitment to them that they will enjoy the same type of cost of living increases that their colleagues enjoy. So all this does is say they're treated like other state employees. Now, the five elected people are not career-oriented. There's people that go in for a term of office and out. And so I would urge you to vote for the amendment.
Question is, on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 67, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 67 has passed the Senate. Did somebody call for the division? I think it's already been passed, but I'll hold a division if there's a overriding, overwhelming concern to have the senators jump up and down. Did somebody call for a division? Division. Division being called for. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate File 67, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. I may have a cold, but my hearing is still pretty good. Okay, third reading amendment number two to Senate File 67, the Nicholas Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 67, third reading amendment number two. Delete the Nicholas third reading amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number two to Senate File 67. This addresses the same topic, and the question is do we want to give the budget process even broader latitude to not only to accommodate for cost of living increases, or do we want to set the judicial salaries through the budget process? So it just opens the door to not only giving them cost of living increases, but if we think that they're underpaid comparable to their other state employees, you could increase their salaries in general beyond the cost of living increase. Same debate, same issue we just had.
Discussion on third reading amendment Number two to Senate File 67, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, same arguments as before, except this is one step worse. It is really an abdication of our authority and our duty to set these salaries, and I think it's carrying it a good deal too far.
Senator Bebaugh.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would ask you to defeat this amendment. And as I look at the discussion we've had relative to the salaries of our judicial branch and the importance of it, I think it's healthy that we do that. And I think if it gets buried in the budget process, we'll lack the opportunity to talk about it and talk about things that are so important, like my colleague from Albany County suggested, we need to have good qualified candidates. And when you look at why people become judges, there's a lot of reasons. I think retirement's a big part of it. This body saw fit to do that. But this just takes it out of the process. It's something that down the road might not even be discussed at all. I don't think that's appropriate. I would ask you to defeat this amendment.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Question is, on third reading amendment number two, to Senate File 67. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading amendment number two to Senate File 67 has failed to pass the Senate. We're back on the bill. Senate File 67, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebaugh.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Fecht.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job. Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
Closing vote. Larson, no to I. Coe, no to I. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
Senate File 67, having received the affirmative vote, the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 67 has passed the Senate. Senator Johnson.
May I have privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, Senator.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President and fellow senators, one of the organizations for youth in our country that really impresses me and I think do a very incredibly fine job for them as they move up and out into our society is the FFA organization. Up there, if they will stand, we have Craig Spatz with the Burns chapter of the FFA. Will you please make them welcome?
Welcome to the Senate, and enjoy your day at the Capitol.
Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
May I have privilege of the floor? The
floor is yours, sir.
No introduction. Mark Harris.
Yay!
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. Chairman, due to the time, I believe I'll ask the Senate to recess until 2 p.m. That way we can work steady on the budget as we gather this afternoon, and it will also give the noon committee that have some pretty important bills that they're still working on a little additional time. So I move that we be in recess until 2 p.m.
The motion is for the Senate to be in recess until 2 p.m. Are there any announcements? Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet in S-18 at 12 o'clock to consider Senate File 19, Clandestine Drug Laboratories, hopefully for the last time, and Senate File 46, Discharged Water Management, and if time allows, Senate File 86, Archaic Price Regulations.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. up in S-14, where we will discuss Senate File 81, Fire Protection District's New Entities, Senate File 87, Capitol Building Restoration, and Senate File 76, Private Roads. Mr. President, I had previously announced that we would also be dealing with Senate File 92, Medical Necessity and Insurance Contracts, if time allowed. We referred that bill to Judiciary this morning.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Senate 19 to take up two bills, Senate File 18, Business Entities Revisions, and Senate File 41, Vacating Subdivisions.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will be meeting upon adjournment in S-14 this evening to do Senate File 12, Dispensing Room Products Sold, Senate File 38, People First Language, Senate File 31, Domestic Violence Counseling Period, Senate File 88, Inmate Medical Furlough.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 19th, 20 minutes after the lunch recess up in S-16 to discuss the following three bills: Senate File 77, Severance Tax Distribution; Senate File 79, Property Tax Assessment Rate; Senate File 94, Study on Recapture of Value-Added Energy Resources. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet on adjournment to continue our work on Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments.
Senator DeCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd just like to remind members of the Senate there are lunch over in the Hirschler Building. but more importantly, Mr. President, there is a speaker that's coming in. Dr. Friedman is an expert in the chemistry of the brain and addiction therapy, and he's going to give a talk at 12:30 over in room 1699 in the Hirschler. I'd encourage everyone to attend. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements. The motion is that the Senate be adjourned until 2 p.m. this afternoon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Senate is adjourned until 2 p.m.